Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So for members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, this is in many ways the most important festival of the year. And Krishna conscious means to be conscious of Krishna, and without being Krishna conscious, there's no use to existence. It's living death. So especially for devotees in the Western countries, without Srila Prabhupada, there'd be no question of having any Krishna consciousness. If we're actually serious about Krishna consciousness, we can appreciate what a great gift this is. Recently I was speaking to a heart surgeon, and he was telling how people, they were so grateful to him because he saved so many people's lives, so he thinks. He's a little proud about it. And he was saying that people practically worship me because they consider their life so valuable. But so much more then for devotees who really their life has been saved. The heart surgeon can apparently prolong your life just so that you can go on suffering in material existence more and more and get born again and again to have heart attacks again and again and be attached to your body again and again. But one who has appreciated Krishna consciousness can understand that this is real life. To understand Krishna, to go to the spiritual world, to chant and dance eternally with Krishna, and maybe steal the laddus from his lunchbox. As Prabhupada said once, that I just want to go back to Golok Vrindavan and steal some laddus from Krishna's lunchbox. And he told that if you can make some nice laddus, I will bless you. You can offer them to Krishna and then Prabhupada will steal them. Sometimes Prabhupada did that, not very often. Once in the Berry Place temple in London, he came in to take darshan of the deities Radha Nandanishwara. So the plate was there on the altar, the offering plate. Prabhupada told the pujari, give me that laddu. So Prabhupada's Acharya Purush, he can do what we can't do. If we do, we go to hell. So anyway, this is real life. Dancing and chanting eternally with Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. This in the secret land of Vrindavan. Sugita Naratane Shabha Shakigane Tusechi Jugala Dhane. This is the life of the spiritual world where the gopis are singing and dancing for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, which is real life, just the opposite of this perverted reflection in the material world where people also get drunk and do some kind of aggressive dancing. But the real happiness of waves of unending waves of eternal bliss in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada came and gave that. And it wasn't easy. He went through so many difficulties, which I think probably most of us are aware of. At least we've read in the books. We've heard about some of the struggles Prabhupada went through. Although we don't really know. Reading about something and experiencing it is something else. That how Prabhupada, even if you want to take from the material point of view, Prabhupada is a highly respectable, aristocratic person. And then how he went among the hippies and bums, completely uncultured, and usually completely unclean. And Prabhupada, with great patience and tolerance, taught them about Krishna consciousness, despite so many setbacks. So we are eternally grateful to Srila Prabhupada. Whatever else anyone may do for spreading or teaching Krishna consciousness now or in future, Prabhupada's position is unique, that he actually demonstrated the highest level of Krishna consciousness in his compassion for the conditioned souls, practically demonstrated by going down into the stool pit of the Western world and giving knowledge of Krishna. Not only knowledge of Krishna, but practically demonstrated all the principles of spiritual life. You know, everything, even how to put on a dhoti, how to put on tilak, how to hold a japa mala, even all the most basic things, Prabhupada had to teach everything. So that is Prabhupada's unique contribution, for which we are eternally grateful. That means we cannot pay the debt. Shastra says that even one syllable of spiritual knowledge which is given by the spiritual master, that cannot be repaid by any material means. So what to speak of Srila Prabhupada, who day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, was simply giving Krishna and giving the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, training devotees. He spent much time also training the devotees how to manage and sorting out differences of opinion and between devotees. Prabhupada was so much concerned for every person who came within his circumspection. He so much strongly wanted everyone he came into contact with, he wanted everyone to be Krishna conscious. As Prabhupada said, we are giving gallons of blood just to make one person Krishna conscious. So everyone, especially in the Western world, who has got the opportunity now to chant Hare Krishna, is eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada. There has never been any acharya like him previously, and there won't be in future because his contribution is unique. Krishna came to this world to speak Bhagavad Gita, and he later came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In between, there were so many great acharyas like Madhva, Ramanuja, Vallabhacharya, Vishnu Swami, who gave knowledge of Krishna. But especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that which was anarpita chiring chirat, that which was unatajbala rasa swabhakti shriyam, that which the highest mellows of love of God, which was not given before. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this process of Krishna consciousness by chanting the holy names, by which, as Prabhupada writes in one purport, that everyone who engages in this process of chanting the holy names will be completely cleansed from the core of their hearts. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that. And he predicted that his name would be chanted in every town and village of the world. Actually, before Prabhupada came, the Bengali Vaishnavas used to read this verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But they had no idea how it could be possible. Even it was described that even after the, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had that vision, first of all, of how all over the world there should be Krishna consciousness. He wrote that when will that day come when the Bengali devotees join with their brothers, the French, the Prussians, the Russians, the British, the Americans, and they all come together in Sankirtan. So he predicted that Sankirtan, this would be the future church of the world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also had that vision. He sent preachers to the Western countries. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do anything very solid. So after the passing of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the preaching movement, it became somewhat stultified. And there was no more vision of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. But Prabhupada had that vision, because the very first time he met his spiritual master, that's what he was told by him. Prabhupada described that one of his friends dragged him to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He didn't want to go, because he thought, oh, all these sadhus, they're all useless. I've seen enough sadhus, they're all bogus cheaters. But his friend, Narendranath Malik, he thought that this is a real sadhu, and he wanted Abhay to come and see. Because among his friends, Prabhupada, even as a young man, he was always the leader. So unless he said, the others wouldn't accept. So this Narendranath Malik, who was part of the group, he wanted to bring Abhay. So he didn't want to go, but practically he dragged him. You must come. So they went to see Saraswati Thakur on the roof of the Bhaktivinoda Asan at 1 Ultadanga Road. On the roof means, in many buildings in India, they have a flat roof, and then in the evening, people can sit there in the cool. Once the sun set, it's a little cool, and you can enjoy the nice cool breezes sitting on the roof. So on this evening, they went up, and Saraswati Thakur was sitting on the roof of the building. And as is the culture, that even if you think a sadhu is bogus, you should offer him obeisances. Now, Usually when you see someone, first of all, you inquire, well, who are you? What is your name? Where are you from? What is your profession? And so many things like this. But what happened, they were still offering their obeisances just as they were getting up. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you are educated young men. You should preach the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. So immediately, Abhay protested. Because even though he was brought up in a pure Vaishnava family, at that time he had some faith in Gandhi's non-cooperation movement, whose aim was to oust the British from India. So Abhay argued. He said that, what's the use of all this preaching Krishna consciousness? He said that, who will listen to India's message as long as India is a slave country? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, no, the message of Krishna consciousness is so urgent, it cannot wait for any political adjustment. And Prabhupada described that he was defeated. He says, the only time in my life I was ever defeated in argument. But he was very pleased because he'd been brought up with the culture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now he realized that there is a real sadhu in the world, a real follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time he became a follower of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And officially he accepted initiation sometime later. Now, Prabhupada was always, he was a householder at that time. He was a young man already married. So his idea was to develop some business and with the funds contribute to the activities of the Gauriya Math and preaching. Now, when Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that was 1922. And shortly before Saraswati Thakur was passing away in 1935, that was just 2 years after he was initiated, he wrote a letter to Saraswati Thakur saying that the sannyasis and brahmacharis, they can serve you in so many ways. But I'm a householder, I'm entangled in my family life. How can I serve you? Prabhupada later noted that the only question he ever asked his guru was, how can I serve you? So he got a letter in reply saying that, well, you are very expert in presenting Krishna consciousness in the English language. So he said that you should preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. And that will be good for you and that will be good for others. So Prabhupada recognized that's the same order that he got when he first met Saraswati Thakur. So that, Prabhupada knew then, that is my life's mission. While reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada came across the passage in which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the disciple should take the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul. So Prabhupada did that. And though even though he didn't know exactly how he should do that, he knew he had to do that. Things became more difficult after that. The Gauriya Math split into many branches due to infighting. The preaching spirit, this is after the departure of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The preaching spirit was largely lost. There was a great war. But still Prabhupada was always thinking how to take up that order. He knew that he had to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. The order to preach in English, he took that means all over the world. So he did that. And most significant, there was no one helped him. From the India side, no one even took him seriously that he could do anything. Nowadays, we just think it's normal that there are devotees in Lithuania and Russia and Australia and America and so many places. But in those days, it was no one could even imagine it. It's just something just absolutely unimaginable. India means Hindus, means they're Indian. Sadhu means they're Indian. Brahmana means they must be Indian. But Prabhupada had a different vision because he believed in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He believed in the order of his spiritual master. And therefore he went out to preach, thinking, well, let's see what Krishna has in store. Now, of course, when we go to preach in the modern world, people already know something about, at least they've heard of some Hare Krishna movement. And the atmosphere in many ways is purified because there's been so much Harinam and Prasad distribution and book distribution in the world. And many people are open to the ideas of reincarnation, Eastern religion as they see it, vegetarianism. Many people are vegetarian. But in those days, when Prabhupada went to the West, very few people were even vegetarians. Nowadays, the world is much more pluralistic. And people are, I mean, I go everywhere, all over the Europe and different, dressed like this, and you know, it's okay. But in those days, it was considered a very strange thing. Even in the early days, the first devotee, the Kirtanananda, he shaved his head and put on dhoti. He was locked up in a mental hospital. It was so strange, it was so unusual, it was so different. I mean, even to be a vegetarian was unusual. So we may think, oh, well, you know, Prabhupada preached and made some devotees. I'm also doing the same thing. But Prabhupada's endeavor has purified the world, so it's much easier to do so. How he had so much determination when no one in India took him seriously or wanted to help him. And in the West, for so much time when he was first there, no one understood him, he had no funds. Imagine if you're trying to do something very difficult that no one appreciates, no one supports, no one encourages. I mean, it's important for all of us, if we're doing any service, that someone encourages us, or at least they accept, yes, it's nice what you're doing. But there was no one to encourage or even appreciate Prabhupada's endeavor. And no one even understood what he was talking about. Now, the very beginning of spiritual philosophy, the or not this body, Prabhupada had to explain it so much again and again and again. I mean, even literally people had difficulty understanding Prabhupada. I know the first month after I joined the temple in England, all the time Prabhupada tapes playing lectures. And after about 1 month, I could understand what Prabhupada was saying because his accent was so different. Prabhupada had complete faith in the holy name of Krishna, in the process of Krishna consciousness, that it can purify people, that people even from the backgrounds of cow eaters, having sex with their mother, that means if you have sex with someone who's not your wife, according to Vedic understanding, that's the same as having sex with your mother. So Prabhupada made such people Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, sannyasis. He had faith that the process of Krishna consciousness can purify. Prabhupada once said that, sometimes I wonder how this wonderful thing has happened to me. He said, I had so many godbrothers who are more austere than me, very learned, had so much association with Guru Maharaj. Then why should it be that to me, that this great benediction of worldwide Krishna consciousness he had the opportunity to do? Prabhupada said, when I analyze, I see that only I had full faith in the orders of my Guru Maharaj. Otherwise, theoretically, anyone could have done what Prabhupada did. Sometimes some of Prabhupada's godbrothers used to say that, well, you know, anyone could have done that. He went to America and he chanted Hare Krishna and some people followed. Anyone could have done that. Actually, I don't think everyone could have done that. There's so much dedication, sacrifice, faith. Prabhupada had heart attacks when he was going there. He had heart attacks when he was there. Still he went on pushing. But anyway, in reply to that, Prabhupada told the story of Christopher Columbus, that when he came back to Portugal, other people who were envious of him said, well, he discovered America, but you know, anyone could have done that. So all the detractors were there in the court. So he brought one egg and he asked them, you please stand it on its side so that it's standing like this. Well, how can you do that? It's not possible. So he said, try and see. So some people tried and naturally it fell down. So Christopher Columbus said, I'll show you how to do it. So he held the egg and he just tapped it a little bit so it broke and then he stood it. He said, well, anyone could have done that.
That's what they're saying now. They told you how to do it. You had no idea how to do it. In the same way, Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness in the West and actually no one was doing that. Yeah. Sometimes he came to Prabhupada's attention and some of his cousins were saying that, well, you know, why is he preaching in the West? He said, well, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Krishna consciousness preached in the West, he would have done that himself, but he didn't, therefore he didn't preach in the West. Prabhupada was walking on the beach and stopped and put his cane in the ground and turned to the devotees and said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't preach in the Western countries because he wanted to bring the credit. So Prabhupada, he was sent by Krishna to do the work which all the previous acharyas wanted done. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, they wrote so many books, the six Goswamis also wrote so many books. It was all being handed down in the course of time, with the aim that this knowledge should be spread all over the world. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse, This verse says that this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam that is meant for making a revolution, Viplava means revolution, in the life of the simple population, Janata Alka means simple population, and even if it's imperfectly composed, it is heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Now, what does this mean? Srimad Bhagavatam was never preached among simple people, pious people. Here, only pious people go to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam being recited. What does it mean about this Abhadavatyapi, this imperfectly composed? The Srimad Bhagavatam is very nicely composed in perfect Sanskrit. And the first time that the Srimad Bhagavatam was preached among simple people was when Srila Prabhupada went to preach the message of Bhagavatam all over the world. Basis of simple people becoming Krishna consciousness, not Janata other. Janata means the general public. And also it's interesting that Prabhupada translated Srimad Bhagavatam into English, which is by its very nature an imperfect language. It's most unsystematic. Lecha Bhasha, language of the barbarians. And even then Prabhupada's English was not perfect. Prabhupada's English is very much what we call Indian English, full of typical grammatical errors. So what does this verse mean, that the Bhagavatam will create a revolution in the lives of a simple population, even though imperfectly composed? This refers to Srila Prabhupada's translation of Srimad Bhagavatam and teaching of it in the Western time. Prabhupada's position is unique. Even there are many great acharyas, and even all the great acharyas, you cannot compare Srimad Prabhupada. Each Krishna consciousness in India, Palestine, where people know what is Vedic culture, how to respect sadhana, inherent faith in Shastra. Prabhupada went among people who had absolutely no qualification for spiritual life. Just about every discourse. And he even brought them to India and had them preach in India. So in India, people, you should be ashamed of yourself. He's listening to lectures and teach about chanting Hare Krishna. Brahmins, people objected. Even most of Prabhupada's godfathers objected. How can you make them Brahmins? Maybe in their next life they can be born in a Hindu family. Then they can become Vaishnavas. So many people used to say, against the Shastra conclusion, verses in Shastra, that even a person from the most fallen background, completely purified if he takes to Krishna consciousness. Tandalaki Vijay Shreshta Hari Bhakti Paranamaha. Even someone born in family, Chandala. The best of the Brahmanas if he's devoted to Krishna. The whole Bhagavan, Srapacha, Kurgariya, Nakshivadi, Bhagavata, Nana, Kuru. Even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, and young and much fallen than that, who is chanting your holy names, they are always growing up. There's much evidence in Shastra. But generally in India, the caste feelings are very strong. I mean, people from a high caste, even if they're supposed to be Vaishnava gurus, usually if they initiate someone from a lower caste, they won't take food from them. They're thinking, it's so low. Speak of these people from the Western countries who are just completely sinful by their background. They're Prabhupada against the protests of the Indian society at that time, who made Brahmins, Vaishnavas, Sannyasis from Western people. Not very much now, but at that time there was much protest. You are spoiling the Hindu religion. You cannot make these Westerners into Hindus. The Prabhupada, he firmly stuck to the conclusion of Shastra. And encouraged the Prabhupada, yes. you are Brahmins, you are Vaishnavas. Sometimes it also chastises that why you are a Brahmin and why you're still acting like a merchant. But he had faith that the holy name would glorify him. And he had a great vision that Krishna consciousness should spread all over the world. Prabhupada, one of the most amazing statements he made many amazing statements. He said that 50% of my work is not done. He said, I still have to establish, still work even to establish one ashram society. So that important work Prabhupada wanted to do to complete the revolution of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave the philosophy and the process of Krishna consciousness. And he spoke also much about one ashram society. And he had this from the devotees. Purchase big armfuls. But he wanted to establish that, alright, we have the philosophy, we have the practice. How to live practically in this world and be devoted.